All right, rockers and metalheads, this is DJ Rem, Quoth the Raven, and I'm live with the band Age of Fire. What's going on, guys?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. Thanks thanks for joining us tonight. Very happy to have you guys live on air. And I guess let's start if you could introduce yourselves and your spots in the band.
Sure. I'm Greg Brown, guitar player.
I'm Laura. I am lead vocals.
And I'm Mike. I also do guitar and production stuff and whatever else we need.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mike's been like the jack of all trades. I mean, he's knocked out the bass and some drums on some tracks. And so he's like the cleanup crew. Very grateful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So first of all, thank you guys for reaching out and asking to do an interview. That always makes my day when a band reaches out and it wants to talk, because I can talk about music and metal all day long. So much appreciated. So what have you guys been up to right now? You know, obviously it's pandemic, and depending on where you live, you can do live shows or you can't do live shows. What's it like in your neck of the woods? Are you guys able to do live shows or anything right now?
Not really. Yeah. Not all that's happening around here is a couple of places have like small acoustic type things, like one guy in a corner, you know. But for the most part, people here are being fairly, kind of following the guidelines and stuff. And like the restaurants are more dead than usual. And so even in bars and stuff. So even if you were playing gigs, there wouldn't be anybody out hardly.
Right.
Yeah. For the listeners out there, we're in Central Virginia, and so we have, when the fall hit, we would definitely have some more outdoor things. We had a lot of vineyards and things like that. But as far as metal shows, there really wasn't anything like that going on. Rock and roll. There's a few places, pavilions and things like that, and it wasn't happening. We have the only governor, in the country that actually is a doctor, so he kind of locked down and on a lot of restrictions pretty early in the game. So unfortunately that cut out a lot of live music and gatherings and things like that. So
what have you guys been up to as a band, during this, downtime, I guess you would say, since you can't do live shows?
Recording.
We have a bunch of projects going on, but we're mostly working on the follow-up disc to the last one, Shades of Shadow. We're working on new stuff for the new disc, hopefully out in the spring or summer-ish, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. When you sent me the video for, and I have to make sure King of Aquilonia, is that how you say it?
Aquilonia,
gotcha. See, I knew as soon as you said it would be easy. So did you guys, when did you guys put that together and put that out?
Gosh, so that was so the wild thing was that was probably a year and a half or so was when that was originally came in. We got signed to Slip Trick Records, summer of 2019. And unfortunately, that was our first single that came out, first video. And so as we were pushing momentum to, do shows and support, our disc came out the third week of February. And, two, 3 weeks later, everything just shut down. And so we've been trying to do, just press and things like that to try to get the word out of the disc, because we weren't able out to take it to the stage. So that's been kind of the super drag for us, was we just kind of lost, some momentum. But yeah, we have been writing a lot. Mike and Laura work on a project together. I got a solo disc coming out in a couple of weeks. But we're also working on some tracks that we've been writing during the pandemic as well. So
all right, cool. So we'll come back to the solo disc, because I'm definitely interested to hear about that. But sure. How long have you guys been together as a band? How long has Age of Fire been around?
Loaded question. Let Greg answer.
I'm the sole remaining member. So we started back in '88. Also a three piece back in the day. We did a bunch of shows out in South Florida and up and down the East Coast. And then kind of disbanded with that lineup in '93. And from there, actually, I personally went off and studied a lot of classical guitar, classical music, composition, things like that, different styles of music, jazz, blues. But I always still listen to metal and still a huge metalhead. And so kind of got the, actually, I went back and remastered a bunch of the original tapes, I guess maybe, God, time flies, maybe 5 years or so ago, and released that out on some digital platforms. And I just wanted to write again in that. So I kind of tagged in a bunch of people, did a second release, and just started building up momentum, and especially like on social media platforms and things like that. And then things kind of came up with Slipchick Records, and Mike and I, Mike was helping me mix some stuff, and I've always wanted to work with Laura, and it just, we had an opportunity and just started working together. And so the three of us been together, I guess, going on 2 years, I guess.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. So I'm sure you get this question, but how'd you come up with the name of the band? You know, where's Age of Fire come from? And does it have any, like, is there meaning behind it, or is it just kind of a random thing you came up with?
Yeah. So I was, when I guess still am, I still read a lot of books on, you know, religions, philosophies, and, you know, Armageddon, end of times, and all those good fun things. And I heard, I guess was reading somewhere that they referred to as the end of times, the period before the end of times, as the Age of Fire. And it just kind of stuck with me. I was like, yeah, that's a great name for a metal band.
Absolutely. It's very metal. Very metal.
That's right.
When I first heard about it, like, I was like, how is that not taken? Like, there's got to be, I went looking, like, there's got to be some other metal band called Age of Fire out there. And I can't find anything. Like, it's just us, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty wild that nobody had taken that.
Right. Yeah. Like, what a great metal name. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it could be like a movie title too or something.
Right.
Yeah. I think there is a book series, like a fantasy book series by the same title, which I found before trying to you know, build our social media presence, and you know, pictures of dragons and stuff come up. So I think it's like a fantasy series, things like that. So I haven't read them.
So,
but our band name predates that.
Awesome. So I'm always curious when I talk to bands. So this question is for each of you. I'm always curious to know what kind of influences you had growing up, you know, and also, did you have anyone in your family that was musically inclined that kind of helped get you into music, or was it more just something that you picked up on your own? So I'll let you guys pick who goes first, but I'm always very curious to know.
Ladies first.
Oh, me first.
Yeah, you go for it.
So no one musical in my family at all. I was the weird black sheep of the family that was like artsy and into things, and nobody got. There was always a lot of music around my house. My mom loved, you know, like Motown and pop stuff. So that's really what I grew up with. And I also had a big affinity for like Broadway. But because I wasn't naturally exposed to like rock music, I just kind of slowly found my way like through Rush and Live and Smashing Pumpkins, and like slowly started to grow in that way until I met Mike, and then Mike kind of like pushed me into the deep end of metal, as it was. And so that's really where that came from. My music background was really always in piano. My parents did always very much encourage me to do that. So I you know, played piano all through, and just was honestly singing for fun. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trained or professional or anything at all, except for like choir. That's it.
And like a decade and a half of gigging.
Well, yeah, but like before that,
I'm not a professional. I've only been singing professionally and getting paid for it for 15 years.
I was like, before that, I never took voice lessons or anything like that. So I don't know.
Well, your voice sounds awesome, by the way. So
thank you.
So keep singing.
I was a little different. My dad was in a band when I was really little. I mean, I remember being like 3 years old and sitting at his band practice, and there's like a drum set, and I remember being like, I want to play the drum set, but I was like this big and I couldn't reach anything, you know. And he played keys in that band, and we always had a piano around, and like I started, you know, I would noodle on the piano occasionally, and I was in music classes in school and started playing drums, and then learned guitar like kind of late in high school, early college years, sort of. Early music was mostly like, I was a total 90s kid. Like, I was the right age for that the whole like grunge explosion thing.
Alice in Chains, baby. I said Alice in Chains.
Yeah, love exactly. Alice. I'm a huge Alice in Chains fan. I love Alice in Chains. All those guys, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, The Pumpkins are a huge influence. Tool, Rage, like everything that came out in that era. And I got, you know, metal wise early on, it was pretty much just Metallica and Pantera early. And then, you know, I'd heard of a couple other things here and there. But then I met Greg, and Greg started introducing me to like everything. You know, he's like, check out Nevermore. Here, listen to this CD. And I'm like, oh, that's the best CD I've ever heard in my life. And Halloween and King Diamond. And like, and Greg introduced me to a whole lot of stuff.
So if you're paying attention, it's all Greg's fault.
It's pretty much all Greg's fault. You know?
I was going to say, I haven't heard anything bad yet. So good job, Greg.
Well, thanks.
All that stuff, you know. And now I listen to tons of stuff. Actually, I mean, that's not entirely true. I had a friend, I was in a high school band, and the guitarist in that band, I played drums, the guitarist in that band listened to a lot of like kind of early like kind of heavy stuff. He listened to Death and Deicide, and he went through a black metal phase. He was playing the Emperor and all these black metal bands, and I'm like, what is this? You know, because it was so out there for like, you know, compared to Alice in Chains, Emperor is like, you know, just crazy, you know?
Right. Yeah, especially if that's your first, because right? I remember, god, it was junior high and I heard Metallica the first time, and that, and I was the same thing. I was like, what is this? It's like, I think back now, it doesn't seem fast now, but back then it just seemed like it was so fast.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You could literally see windows and doors opening in your mind the first time you hear something like that. And it just kind of makes you go, what have I been missing?
Uh-huh.
What is out there?
Yeah. Then I heard like Suicidal Tendencies. I was like, what is this?
Right.
You know? Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Greg?
Yeah, God, it's so funny. You know, this question comes up, and I try to think of what did it. You know, I've always said, like, I remember when I was 10, I'm going to date myself here, and, like, Back in Black came out, and I was just blown away, and I heard the guitar, and I was like, man, I want to play the guitar. And then I even go back further, and I remember being a kid, maybe 7, 8 years old, and like, many guitar players, like, heard Eruption and going, oh, my God, it's a spaceship. How can that be a guitar? It was, like, the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life. But I also remember growing up, like, watching the Monkees, and I was like, man, being in a band looks like a lot of fun, you know? So, you know, it's so many different things. But I do remember when I was at a friend's party. God, I was, I guess, 12. And luckily I had neighbors and their parents went away all the time. We had all these crazy parties at their house. They had older brothers. And I remember one night we were hanging out and it was like one of these scenes from the movies where this thing comes on the boombox and you're like everything just kind of fades away and you're just going like, what is that? That is just the most amazing thing. And it was Number of the Beast. You know, I mean, that album for me just blew me away. You know, it still just blows me away. It's phenomenal. And so I was hooked from that point on. I was a metalhead and I was just a sponge. And, you know, luckily I was in an environment in school where people would, you know, just metalheads, you know, we just kind of stick together and like, what's this? And, you know, it's back in the, you know, the mixtape days, like, here, man, check this out. And so I was just a sponge and I just played and played and played and started playing when I was 12 and been playing metal on stage since I was 14. I remember even doing gigs at 14 and doing, you know, Metallica and Scorpions and Van Halen and Originals and stuff like that. I mean, I was just hooked. So, but you know, the previous question, I do not come from a musical family either. So yeah, like Laura, it's like Black Sheep. It was just like, yeah, that's just kind of Greg's thing. Yeah, he does that. I don't know. I mean, it was just, they didn't know. You know, I was like a vampire. You know, I'd be like sleeping all day and going out and doing gigs at night and coming home and go to sleep when the sun comes up. And, you know, that was it. But, you know, God, I mean, minimum wage at the time was like $3.05. You know, I'd come to do a gig and come home with a fistful of cash. And, you know, the parents were like, I'm not really sure what you're doing, but okay, just be careful. You know?
Right. So
that was it.
Awesome. Well, thanks guys for sharing that. So, okay. Shameless plug time. Where can people go to find out more about the band? What social networks are you on? What websites? Where do we go?
Facebook, we're Age of Fire, pretty easy to find. We come right up. We're pretty busy there. Instagram, Age of Fire Band, but with underscores in between each word there. And also I have a personal Laura Age of Fire Instagram now too. So that's where you'll get more like the goofy stuff rather than the official stuff going on. Those are the 3 months, website, ageoffire.net.
Yep. That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
All over.
We're around. Social network thing, it's weird for me. I don't know. I don't get this whole oversharing thing. I'm trying.
where can people go spend their money though? Where can they buy the CD, music and stuff?
Yeah, everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, all of the above. Yeah. You can find it anywhere digitally.
Yeah, Slip Trick. Put it out on like every streaming service and every download service. Like it's okay. Everywhere.
Awesome.
The word you use is like Fire and stuff will come up.
Do you guys have any merch for sale at all?
Yep. You can get that. Yeah, through the website, ageoffire.net, or of course, you know, you can send us messages on through Facebook and stuff. So we have t-shirts and you know, obviously hard copies of CDs, you know, photos, things like that. So
all right, cool.
Yeah.
You don't have any patches, do you?
No. That is good, though. We need to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I actually was talking to somebody in December, talking to a company about that. And so there are a few things we're hoping to, you know, to get out there. It's just, it all takes time.
Yep.
I've got a thing
absolutely.
For you. I'll send you a thing, Greg. I know what to do with that.
Yeah, do it. Love to see it.
And when you guys have patches, let me know, because I'll buy them.
Awesome.
All right. Awesome, thanks.
Oh, you know, I got the black Dickies shirt, and I'm slowly covering into patches. When I go to a concert, that's what I wear.
So, nice,
that's awesome.
Our dog has a sweet leather jacket, and she covers it with pins. It's just covered in pins. Every surface of it, it's pretty.
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Super cool. So. Okay, so you guys talked about, you know, because of the pandemic, well, not, I guess, because of whatever, but during the pandemic, you've been spending time writing. So I guess, do you guys have, like, a time frame for when you're going to have, like, enough material for a new CD? Or I guess, where are you guys at in that process?
Oh, the material's there for sure. Honestly, it's going to be editing, I think, and just recording and perfecting, I think, at this point. So we're hoping spring or summer.
Yeah, I think summer is more realistic for things to be done at the earliest. We have so many things going on. Like Greg's got his solo CD coming out. We have, Laura and I have another more rock band that's less metal that's putting out a disc that we've been working on. So we're trying to get that stuff out of the way, but the Age of Fire stuff keeps sort of coming because I'm always writing metal riffs, and so is Greg. Like we're both always like, ooh, that's a good metal riff for Age of Fire, right?
Yeah.
Even nice. If we're in the middle of other projects, you know?
Well, yeah, you guys will
be, you know, there'll be singles coming out, you know, probably, you know, to kind of keep everybody's appetite wet, you know, in the next look, get something out by the end of next month. And so maybe every few months, I think some of it too, I mean, personally, it's and we haven't really talked about this too much, but it's like it's such a bummer when you're pushing so much for your disc to come out and then the whole pandemic hits down, and I'd rather not have another completed disc and then live shows don't happen for another, you know, 6 months or so after that. So I think a lot of it's going to be on just kind of the live show situation.
Yeah, right on. Makes total sense. I have to, you know, as new singles come out, let me know. Obviously I can add them to my show, but then, one of the stations I'm on, I actually run the 24/7 server, so I can throw the tracks on there. So they're just playing all the time. So,
oh, awesome. Thank you.
So definitely happy to do that as well.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you guys do for the recording process? Do you guys have a home studio you guys record? Do you guys have a studio you go to? How's that look for you guys?
Go for it.
So there's a mixture of things that happens. Like if Greg has something already, you know, Greg records some stuff at his place and he'll, you know, send me the files over to my little studio here and I'll, you know, mix them or add stuff and then throw down Lars' vocals if there's vocals and mix it and send it out, you know. Other times, you know, I there's like a couple things that I start and then, you know, have Greg come over and lay down solos and things, you know, in the opposite order kind of. But that's basically the two paths, you know, to finishing stuff is that one of us starts it and then, you know, I kind of put the bow on it and master it and send it out, you know.
Yeah. We've been fortunate and very grateful for technology, especially, you know, as with the pandemic, that we're able to, you know, record, you know, digitally and nicely at home and, you know, produce a product that you can give out. You know, it's, I think about it, this happened 20 years ago. I don't know what happened, you know, I mean, it'd be a mess, you know, and wouldn't be able to do, you know, something like this, you know, with you tonight. And it's just, you know, it's grateful to be able to just kind of be able to talk out to, you know, people around the globe and be like, hey, how are you doing? Like, how's it going over there? Like, how's the world treating you? And you guys doing concerts over there yet? And I mean, it's just, you know, it's so wild that, you know, we're lucky that we can still kind of create music at our homes and get it out to the world.
Yeah. And it amazes me how far it's come. Like I've been recording since I was a teenager. I got a 4-track when I was like 15 or something. And so I used to record at home with like microphones and cassette tape, you know.
Not well, but
it's not that bad. Okay. Considering what I was working with. But wow, like you can do so much more with like, you know, some pretty basic gear and plugins. Like you have like good sounding stuff. Like it's fantastic. You know, and it still takes a lot of time and fiddling with stuff and experience and, you know, but, you know, it's getting easier the more and more you do it. Now I can, you know, for the most part, get stuff up and sounding decent pretty quick for the most part.
Yeah, everything I've listened to of you guys sounds great. So whatever you guys are doing, good job for sure.
Thanks.
Yeah. So when you guys aren't working on music, do any of you guys have any like crazy hobbies or anything you guys do? Anything out there?
Crazy hobbies.
Music's the big one. I mean, I'm trying to get into woodworking. I've never done handy stuff really. I've always been other than like, you know, some guitar maintenance. but I built a workbench in my garage and I'm building a guitar from a kit, like it's a 7-string to do more, you know, low stuff for the next record. And so I got this guitar kit. So I've been staining that and like sanding it and doing all that stuff, which is new for me.
That's cool.
I wouldn't call that crazy. Like music's like the life, you know?
Yeah. I guess my only other hobby is I'm in a Shakespeare study group, for lack of a better word. It's kind of four actors and for just deeper appreciation of what's actually going on and being said. And it's really cool. We meet for like 3 or 4 hours every week. So it's a pretty intense little group, but I think it's fun. I mean, if you find Shakespeare fun.
And you've done occasional stage stuff.
I kind of alluded to, I'm a big theater nerd. That's kind of where my initial artistic impressions kind of came from. And so, I do like to do the occasional acting thing.
That's cool.
We should do like a concept album, like on Macbeth, like a metal concept album, like, right? I mean, that's a pretty metal.
There, man.
Yeah. And me personally, I'm a huge space nerd. Astronomy, space exploration. I don't know. Yeah, I study astrophysics for fun. So it's great. You know, anytime I can get outside, especially now, it's been nice that I can get outside with a telescope and the winter's nice and clear here, and definitely a good way to social distance.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Awesome. So, okay, most important question of the interview.
Uh-oh.
And I say that with a lot of sarcasm. So, when you guys are able to play live shows and be out there, who spends the most time in front of a mirror before you guys go on stage?
In fairness, I'm the only one that wears a full face of makeup, so like that's, you know.
Well,
I'm not crazy about it though.
Have to tell you though, in fairness to me for asking that question, because I've interviewed a lot of female fronted bands, and you'd be surprised how many times it's not the female singer.
Yeah. No, I believe that. No, these guys are pretty low key. In fact, I usually have to be like, you guys, you know, for this light, you might want to put on a little makeup. They're like, what? I have a t-shirt. It's fine. So they're low maintenance. I'm not that bad. I'm not that high maintenance.
I'm a 90s kid, like I said at heart, and like the whole you know, dressing up and acting all like, you know, having like a whole, you know,
glam
fashion gimmick is just not my thing. I'll go like more like the Motorhead route with just like a shirt and some jeans, and
right on.
That's all you need to rock out, you know. You don't need some like crazy shiny outfit, you know.
Yeah. I'm an 80s thrash head, so whatever, roll out of bed and play, you know. I never really did any of that stuff. Yeah, main thing, I think, I mean, make sure I have to have shoes on. After a couple of times I got electrocuted from mics that weren't grounded, but that's I try to have shoes. That's about as much makeup I need to have as but no.
Awesome. Okay, is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to make sure the listeners, whether they're tuned in right now or will be tuned into this on the podcast channel, anything we haven't talked about you want to make sure the listeners and the fans know?
Greg, you should talk about your solo thing coming out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So February 23rd, hitting all digital platforms. I do a solo disc called GCB, just my initials. It's kind of like a guitar retrospective. It's got tracks that go back from the 80s all the way through today. And with two new tunes, I released a single, Building 7, on New Year's Day. Actually, my first track I'd actually released with a 7-string. It's all just instrumental shred guitar stuff. And so, I mean, there's some Age of Fire stuff on there. There's some solo stuff. I think there's a blues tune on there. There's a little bit of everything. So it's just a very guitar, disc. I mean, it's got, there's definitely some metal stuff. And then there's some things that kind of pushes an envelope too, that's a little different out of the normal box. So some things with drum machines and, you know, sometimes a little trippier than others, but that was a fun pandemic project to work on.
Awesome. Where can people go to find out more about that?
I have a Facebook page too, which is Greg C. Brown. On Facebook is probably where I keep most of that stuff now. Some of that stuff I've shared on the Age of Fire pages. Just kind of comments here and there, but my Facebook page right now is probably the most prominent.
All right, awesome. Yeah. And then you guys, didn't you say you had had another rock project as well? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Laura and I have this band called Super Vixen that historically has been like a 90s girl rock cover band. So we do No Doubt and Alanis Morissette and like anything from the 90s sung by a girl that rocks, you know, Zombie, all that kind of stuff.
All right, cool.
And we played a lot around town, and yeah, we've been doing that for like 5 years, 6 years.
It's been, yeah,
eight, I don't know, a long time. And this past, like kind of last year, we got a new bass player who's a good friend of ours, because the old bass player left, and we started talking, and I was kind of itching to write more, do more like original stuff, which we hadn't done in a while. And so we started kind of putting together some songs and like an album. So we're like, we're gonna do original stuff.
Nice.
Right? And break out of just being a cover band for fun, you know?
Very cool.
Yeah, and so we're really excited about it. I think a lot of the tunes are really strong. A lot of them are really rock and inventive, and yeah, they're not like full on, you know, metal and thrashy like Age of Fire, but they're, you know, there's definitely like some good riffs and rocky stuff in there.
That's okay. There's something to be said about multiple styles
Over the game bit, you know, like
honestly, in reality, that's what Age of Fire really is. Is like we come from such a diverse background of musicality and like what we like, that the kind of metal we are is not. we do what we want, and so sometimes that's thrashier, sometimes it's, you know, a little more glam, sometimes it's a little more, you know, Dio, sometimes it depends, you know. So that's kind of what I dig about us. Maybe not all of it is for everybody, but there's bound to be something for someone, for everyone in there. So
cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So you'll have to, Greg or one of you guys, if you guys can send me links to, obviously I have Age of Fire stuff, but if you can send me links to your, you know, to the solo and the rock band stuff, because what I'll do is when I publish it on the podcast channels, I'll put it in the notes, so that way there'll be links to all that stuff there as well.
Great.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, all the Super Vixen stuff will be up on the streaming sites, hopefully in a couple months, hopefully.
Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I'm redoing our webpage now. So like we've had a webpage that was like supervixenband.com. But I think I'm getting a new page and building a new page. And so all of that's being redone to like coincide with the launch of the new stuff, but it'll be on Spotify. And, you know, if you go in the summer and type in Super Vixen, it'll come up.
Ah, cool. And just so you know, when we drop off here, I have two, Age of Fire tracks, to play for the listeners. And, I have to tell you, King of Aquilonia, did I say it right this time?
Yes. Yeah, you got it.
Okay. It's awesome, but I spent some time and I just kind of went through listening to all your guys' stuff that's like on YouTube and everything. Judgment Day is like my favorite track.
Oh, awesome.
I think mine too.
Yeah. I was just like rocking out to that baby. So
awesome.
So that's it's all good though, don't get me wrong. Just that one really got me. That one was really, for me personally, it's kind of my style of music and metal. So I was like, oh, yeah, you know.
and it ends up being, you know, rather apropos for what's going on now. That was written pre-2020, so.
Hey, you know. Oh, yeah. There's parts of that I was written that were really written back in the 80s. That's one that kind of the first couple lines and the main verse riff, I think I've had that kicking around for a long time. But it was funny because when the label was like, what single do you want to release second? And here we were, it was like right in the middle of pandemic last year, we're going, you know, this one seems to fit. And they're like, what do you want in the video? And we're like, you know, just kind of current affairs would be great. And they just kind of went with it. So it was pretty funny.
So cool. So cool.
Or not really.
Yeah, it fits. It's fitting.
It fits. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for taking time to talk tonight. Much appreciated. And it's been great to talk to you, get to know you guys. Again, please send me links to all your stuff so I can include in everything that I share out there. And I'll be keeping an eye on the new stuff coming out.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted for sure.
Sounds great. All right, have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye.